Hey, More Gold Investors. This is your co-host, Aja Yassir, and this is a special podcast recording we have today. I have Rhea Ray Harris, the community builder. She's a realtor. Rhea, I think you might be our first realtor we've had on the show. Everybody, please excuse me. I'm trying to get through a cold, but we're going to get through this interview, and Rhea is actually going to be asking me some questions because we have an event coming up this weekend in Gary, Indiana, not too far from Chicago. So if you're in Chicago, come on through. If you're in the Gary or Northwest Indiana area, come on through as well. We are going to be at Anna's Kombucha. Rhea, do you have the address with you?
It is 624 South Lake Street in Gary, Indiana.
All right, 624 South Lake, and the event is this Sunday, which is October 28th, and we're going to be there from 5 to 6:30. We're going to be talking about seller financing, something that I've talked about on the show before, but we're going to, this is a real workshop, so people who are interested in selling their properties via seller finance, you'll learn the benefits of doing that and how to do that. And people who are interested in getting into seller finance properties, you'll learn how to do that as well. So what is seller finance? That just means you're not going through a bank. You're going through the actual seller. So let's get into it. And again, please excuse me for this heavy breathing. I'm just trying to get through this cold. But we're going to get it going because Rhea is like one of those people who works all day, all night. I forgot she gets up at like midnight to go to work. And she's a realtor. She's just like doing a lot of stuff. So let's get this going. Hey, Rhea.
Hey.
Hey. Well, so tell us.
I'm going to come at you.
Where you are. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm in Chicago, but I consider myself with quote unquote dual citizenship. I have a home in Chicago, and I have a home in Gary, Indiana. And so I know that Chicago does things differently than Gary, but there are still certain things that are the same. And seller financing is one of those things that you can navigate on both sides of the border, Indiana and Illinois. So Indiana is a little more friendly in that you don't use lawyers as much for transactions. I've never had a closing in Indiana with an attorney. So I think it's a little easier to navigate the real estate scene on that side of the border than it is on this one. But again, I think with seller finance, you can do that in Illinois as well as Indiana. So it's very beneficial for those of you who are in the Chicagoland area or in Northwest Indiana to come out this Sunday. Having said that, Aja, can you tell the people what actually is the difference between seller financing versus bank financing?
Well, the main difference between the two is that with bank financing, you're actually going through a bank, you're filling out the paperwork, and you're going through the rigmarole of getting that financing done. With seller financing, on the other hand, you're actually going to the seller, and the seller is holding the note, meaning the seller is now the bank. So you don't have to go through a bank. Sellers do require you to fill out paperwork. You do have to meet certain qualifications depending on the seller. So it's not like it's an easier process necessarily than going through a bank, but sometimes the process can be smoother. And a lot of people think that, okay, well, people who sell a finance, those are people who don't necessarily have the credit or the money. That's not always the case. Many times business owners sell a finance because they may not be able to get bank financing because, you know, as a business owner, your income varies. There are various reasons why somebody wouldn't want to go through a bank. Also, you may have already exhausted your bank finance. You might have a few properties, and your bank is like, yo, we have financed too many properties, so now you have to figure out other creative ways to get those properties, because just because a bank says no, that does not mean that your investing needs to slow down at all. You just need to get a little bit more creative, and seller financing is one of those great ways to be creative and still start building your portfolio or continue building your portfolio.
Now, for people that are not familiar with bank financing, and this is just a really, really broad and quick overview, with bank financing, you're dealing with credit scores, you're dealing with having a certain amount of money in your bank account that you can show and you can prove where it came from, and you're dealing with having to get the pre-approval letters. So there are a few more steps with bank financing, and you're not guaranteed to get the approval from the bank. You're not guaranteed with seller financing either, are you, Aja?
No, you're not guaranteed because it depends on the seller. The seller may say, okay, I want you to have a certain credit score, or I want you to give a certain amount of money down payment. You know, so it really depends on the deal that you strike up with the seller. But the great thing about seller financing to that point is that you can negotiate with the seller more so than negotiating with a huge bank, you know. So you have the seller right face-to-face with you. You can negotiate the terms. You can negotiate the interest rates a lot more than you can with a bank.
Okay. Now, another question, if I were someone just literally so new to this that I would want to have answered is, how do you find seller finance properties? Are they on the MLS? Do I need a realtor? How do I find these people that are willing to consider financing me to purchase their property?
Well, if you're going to get a realtor, you have to get a realtor such as yourself, Rhea. A lot of realtors don't understand seller financing. A lot of realtors don't understand investing or how to work with investors. So you would have to go through a realtor who is knowledgeable like you. Or my properties don't come through the MLS. I find my properties by driving by properties and contacting the seller, or I might get a lead and I contact the seller. But you can also work with a realtor. When you work with a realtor, though, you have to understand that the realtor is going to require payment as well. And usually the seller pays that, but that's also negotiable, too, when you are doing seller financing. And so it really depends on, you know, what you're looking for. Sometimes I found that it is a lot easier to just contact the seller because you don't have that middle person of that realtor. You know, you just don't have the middle person. So a lot of times it's easier with my strategy to actually go through the seller.
Now, on the other side of the equation is the seller. What benefits are there for sellers to offer seller financing?
Oh, my goodness. This is a great question, Rhea, because I think this is the missing part. This is the part that a lot of people don't understand. When a seller finances their property, they get to defer capital gains taxes, meaning that when you sell a property and you are selling it at a profit, you are going to have to pay capital gains taxes. But if you're being paid monthly, you get to kind of defer those payments and that capital gains payment, and you get to pay it in smaller increments. Also, you have a wider array of people you can go through to sell your properties to. You're not just depending on somebody to get bank financing. Yavi, I'm sorry, I'm talking to my door. I meant to say Rhea, but I'm saying Yavi, sorry. See, motherhood, entrepreneurship, all of that.
Yes, yes, I know.
So, Rhea, I know you've probably dealt with situations where you're at the closing table and the bank says, well, we're not going to fund this. Or you've been almost to closing and a bank says, okay, we're not going to fund this for whatever reason. And you get to go around that by doing seller financing. So you could defer those capital gains taxes. Also, you collect interest. And see, that's the big point right there for me. You get to collect interest instead of letting the bank collect interest. You are selling your property, but you may be selling that property for $100,000, but at the end of 30 years or the end of 15 years, that property, the bank has redeemed about maybe $150,000, or maybe they've gotten $30,000 or $40,000 worth of interest off the sale of your property. Now with seller financing, you can go around that and say, no, you know what? I am going to collect the interest on this property. I am not going to allow a bank to collect the interest and get $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 interest on this property. I'm going to collect it. And also, here's another point. You, just like the bank sells notes, you as a seller can sell that note. You may have something coming up. Say you sold a property, seller financed, for $50,000. You can take that note and go to the market and sell that note. And when I say sell that note, I'm saying sell that mortgage, sell your interest to that property. You can go to the market and say, okay, I'm going to sell this property or my interest in this property for $35,000. See, so instead of selling, you sold the property to your buyer for $50,000, but you've taken that note because you may want to cash out early. You may see another investment opportunity or anything come up in your life, and you could say, you know what? I am going to sell this note on the secondary market for $35,000. So what happens there is that you sell that note to another investor, and you sold that note for $15,000 discount to that investor. So that investor's like, yay, I get a property for $15,000 discount, and now I'm collecting interest, and you as the original seller get to walk away with your $35,000 and invest it in something else. So there are various reasons why seller financing can be a better option for a seller.
Well, it's funny that this just happened. I had a client who was going to buy a property. And at first, she and her husband were going to buy as investors, which through bank financing has different qualifications because they already had an FHA loan for their primary home and wanted to do something else. And when they looked at the numbers for what they had to do as an investor who already owned property, you're looking at a lot of rigmarole depending on the lender. So they said, well, maybe we can, and I did not know this until after the fact, maybe we can buy it as if we are just using a conventional loan, but it still will be our primary property, and it won't be so bad. But what wound up happening is they got nervous. So after we had found the property, after everything was going, you know, paid the inspector and all of this and that, they got nervous thinking, what if, because they had a certain type of job, what if we get found out, what kind of trouble are we going to get in? And they wound up walking away from the deal because going back to investor financing was putting them in the position that they didn't want to be in to start. So had the seller financing option been there, they would have that property today. This literally just happened a week ago.
Yeah, and seller financing, that would have come in handy. And also, the whole property, the whole deal wouldn't have had to be through bank financing. They could have taken a percentage of the deal and done seller financing. I know you've probably seen contracts where a property is being sold for, say, $50,000, but the buyer may not be coming up with a down payment. And so that down payment is actually seller finance. And
yes.
So to the bank, you're showing that you are actually coming up with 20 or 25%, but it's actually seller finance. Yeah, they could have had that property. Is there a chance for them to go back and get it?
Well, no, because there was a backup offer waiting in the wings. So the
okay.
moment that they dropped off, someone else literally the same day had their backup offer accepted because the seller at that point was pissed off, and rightfully so. I was not informed of the behind-the-scenes situation until it was too late. And so that was just something that they had to deal with. So down the road, you know, after everyone licks their wounds, well, I'm not licking mine. I didn't have any. But after everybody else gets over it, then we'll talk about this as an option. But like I said, they did not present like the truth, which was that they are investors. They're not, quote unquote, first-time home buyers. And, you know, they don't fall in that category. But even if you are a first-time home buyer, you can still have seller financing.
Oh, yes. You can definitely have
so
seller financing for first-time home buyers, yes.
Right. It's not restricted to investors. I don't want anyone to get that impression. Now,
right.
The other question I want to ask, and I'm going to ask, is what is the difference between seller financing and the rent with the option to buy?
They're basically very similar. Some people call rent with the option to buy or lease with the option to buy categories under the umbrella of seller financing. But seller financing does not necessarily have to be an option deal. It can be a straightforward deal, just like any conventional deal, whereas it's not an option to buy in 5 years or 7 years or 3 years or 18 months. This is actually your mortgage that you're paying for 5, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years. But if you are doing lease with an option to buy, that can fall under seller financing, and that can also fall under conventional, because just because
mm-hmm.
it's leased with options to buy does not mean that you don't have to go through a bank. After your period of leasing or your renting is up, then you, as a buyer, if you're buying a property, you can go to a bank. Maybe you need those 18 months or 2 years to get your financial situation together. Maybe you need those 2 years, 18 months to gather up a down payment or to get your credit together or whatever is going on in your life. You can use that option and say, okay, I've been in this rental property for 18 months, 2 years, or whatever the original deal was, but now I'm going to go out to a bank, and now I am going to get a loan on this property, and I will no longer be a renter. So that's one option that you have. Another thing that you have under rent with an option to buy is, okay, I'm renting this property. After 2 years, 3 years, or whatever, I am fully invested in this property. So what I am going to do is negotiate, or it could have been an original rent with an option to buy, I am going to do a seller finance deal with the seller. So now, since you're no longer a rent with option to buy, you need to understand, and this is especially important, you need to understand you're no longer a renter. Now, if the roof goes out, the furnace goes out, if something happens to that property, you cannot contact that seller and say, okay, I need you to come over here and fix this, or I need you to get somebody over here to fix it. No, your standing with that property has now changed. You've taken over those responsibilities. So at the end of 2 years or whatever your deal is with that seller, now you are paying, maybe you're paying the seller more. Maybe because now you're renting with an, now you're actually paying a mortgage on the property instead of rent with an option to buy after that initial term is up, your seller might say, okay, now that you're paying me mortgage, you need to pay an extra, I don't know, $300 to $500, plus you need to give me the money for your taxes. Or you might have a deal with the seller where you go out and pay the taxes. So there are so many various situations that can come up, and that's why this form of purchasing property is so creative. So it allows you to use your creativity to get property. So there are so many various ways that you can use this.
Well, I am super excited for Seller Financing 101 to be just bevy of information, because we have gotten so entrenched in doing things the way things have, quote unquote, always been done, that we don't explore the possibility of a different way that's more beneficial to you, be you on the seller side or on the buying side. Because right, this is the time. Chicago and Gary are both going through a growth period right now, a change period. And even though people like Chicago's population is decreasing, yes, it is. But in real estate, Chicago is going through a growth spurt. And if you don't have certain things in alignment with what the bank wants, or some people just don't like dealing with banks for whatever reason, this is an option. Gary is about to go through a growth spurt also. There are a lot of developments that are happening in and around Gary that are going to make property ownership really important. And I hope that someone who hears this tonight who didn't think that they were in a position or whatever the case may be reconsiders, because this is now an option that they haven't thought of before.
Yeah. Rhea, I think that's a big point right there. If you don't think you're in a position, please realize that you're in a position. You're always in a position to purchase property. You just have to figure out how to do it and know that there are creative ways to do that, and reach out to professionals who do it and just learn about the industry.
Absolutely, because there are a lot of ways to do it. What's the old saying? There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to buy a property, and there's more than one way to sell it.
That's true. And, you know, with the seller financing, and you mentioned the growth spurt that's going on in Chicago and the growth spurt that's going on in Gary, or getting ready to go on in Gary, another point of seller financing for the seller is that, unfortunately, your buyer may not go through with the sale. They may default on that loan that you've given them. So now you have an opportunity to put that property back on the market, or now you have an opportunity to keep that property. And usually when a buyer defaults on it, you're getting the property back in a better condition. So you may have sold a property to a buyer through seller financing for $50,000, but after a couple of years and they default on that and you have to foreclose, you may get a property that's now worth $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000, you know, depending on your market. So that's something to keep in mind as well, because realize that you are the bank and you now have the right to foreclose on the property, and you now have the right to redeem that property, put it back on the market, fix it up, rent it, whatever you want to do with it.
And that's really the mindset that the seller has to have. You are the bank.
Yes.
Because in this area, and in the Indiana area also, but you're dealing with what they call REOs, which are bank-owned properties, because someone has been foreclosed upon, or, sad to say, in a lot of communities, the original owners, especially in the Black community, and I've seen a little in the Brown community, the original owners are dying, and their children are established elsewhere. And they are literally, in some cases, letting these properties go. So another way, in my mind, to use seller financing is if you're in an area and you know that, you know, sadly, Mrs. Jones has passed on, once, you know, a grieving time has kind of elapsed and you know the family isn't coming back, they live somewhere else, contact them to see if they're willing to do seller financing instead of letting the property go either to the city or the county or the state or whatever the case may be, depending on the circumstances. And if they, because that's what happens when there's no mortgage, the city still wants its taxes to be paid. So they're going to deal with the property at some time. And if it's a bank issue where there's still bank financing, once it goes through probate court, see if you can deal with them as far as whatever the balance is, and from that point forward, making an arrangement on that level. So it's sad, but there's still an opportunity to make it a great thing, because the family, if they don't want the house, at least they get the financial benefits of their mother or father or both having had the house, which is a great thing, because we don't leave as many legacies to our children as we should. And you are making sure as the buyer in that case that a person that had the house for maybe 50 years did not do so in vain.
Right.
And taking it to the next level.
Right. And also you're helping to improve that community, or at least keep that community stable where it won't be an empty house and just another vacant property on that block. You're getting somebody in there who will keep the property up. You're collecting money on it. So it can be a win-win for the family and a win-win for the community.
Absolutely. And with that, I think that we all need to hold on to the rest of our nuggets until Sunday.
Yes. This is going to be a good one, Rhea. I'm really looking forward to this.
I am as well, and I really, really, really would like people to come out on Sunday to get more detailed information about either being a buyer or an investor, utilizing seller financing, or being a seller who doesn't want to be a landlord, and how you can make this work to your benefit as the person that offers financing to someone else. So we will be out on Sunday from 5 to 6:30 at 624 South Lake Street in Gary, Indiana. So I'm really, really, really excited, especially because there are so many properties out here that people don't know will possibly offer you the chance to build your legacy.
Yes, yes. So I appreciate you being on More Gold Investors and asking me such great questions. This is the first time I was actually interviewed on the show. So I appreciate it. It was really fun, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday, Rhea.
Absolutely. And with that, how do you close out, Aja?
Bye. That's all I do is say bye.
Oh, my gosh. Well, everybody, so long until Sunday.
See you Sunday.